Blog Talk Radio.
The Madden Voice, Season 5, Episode 15. And I'm pissed off, but we're going to get to that. Thinking about this show for 2 days, man. Ah! But here we are, Commissioner T here, and we are ready to talk some NFL football. And, we're going to talk about pretty much what's going on in the league, what's going on with our teams, what's going on with your teams. And look at week 14 and then look ahead at some week 15. Big games coming up. A lot of games with playoff implications. So we're going to take a look at that. I was going to take a look at some other issues that are going on. But as always, I have my panel. And we'll start with my co-host. He is the man who was the first winner of the EAFL Super Bowl back in 2005. So that was a long time ago. And he's a man that actually hosted the show the last 2 weeks, so I appreciate that. I'm back at the helm. I feel good to be back into the captain's chair, but he did a great job. And I want to welcome Train to the show. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Appreciate it, T. That intro never gets old. And I'm pissed off, too.
Yeah. And now we're going to introduce this other guy. You know, probably the only guy that ain't pissed off tonight. You know, his quarterback damn near breaks his ankle, comes back and wins the game. Can't understand it. But anyway, you know who he is. The man who was on Madden Nation Season 4. The man who played for $25,000 last year in the EAVG Madden tournament. And will be playing for, we'll just say, hundreds of thousands of dollars coming up in the spring. But we'll keep you posted on that. He is the one and only K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
I am so happy to be here tonight. I really am. I can't wait to do the show tonight. I'm hyped.
Man, yeah, I'm about to do the Tony Reale and mute you, man. That's what I'm about to do, man. You know what I'm saying, man?
What's up, Kate? Hey, what's up, man? I might need to be muted tonight. Could get real.
Man, you know. But I got to tell you, I was happy. We're not the only ones that get emotional on the show, that get into it. You know, I was watching First Take, and Chris Carter and Skip Bayless got into it pretty good. And I don't know if it's on YouTube or what, but if y'all, anybody out there didn't missed it, it was so hot, it became the number one trended topic on Twitter for a while. That's how hot it was. Those two went at it pretty good. But, this is an emotional game. And especially when you're vested into it. You know, if you're really into your team or these guys, you know, Chris Carter used to play the game. Skip Bayless is a writer for 30 years. Stephen A. Smith, been a writer for a long time. So, you get invested into the game. And, you know, and the three of us are very invested in the football, something that we love. And hopefully you guys feel that in the show. And no matter how we may disagree tonight, we will walk away with respect and admiration for each other. But let's jump right into it because, you know, me and Train got to do some splaining tonight. So I'm going to start with Train because, you know, Tim Tebow is the topic. I mean, thank God. I got to start and say thank you for Tim Tebow because the only thing bigger than the Cowboys' loss to the Giants was Tim Tebow doing it again. Really, that was the only thing bigger this week. Maybe Brady's blow-up, maybe he was in there too. But really, if you watched any of the sports shows, it was all about Tim Tebow, all about Tim Tebow. So I want to turn the train because the Broncos did defeat your Bears, and you were not necessarily a believer in Tim Tebow. You weren't a believer. And the first question is, after seeing this game and after losing to Tebow, becoming the next victim on his list, did it change your mind at all about Tim Tebow?
No. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Help us understand. And I guess we all know what happened in the game, but what do you think the impact on, I mean, is that a game that you think Tebow won? I mean, it was a 10-0 game going down the stretch, and you end up losing 13-10, and Tebow once again comes back, brings the team back from behind. You don't necessarily say it was Tebow. So what happened that has you not giving Tebow any more credit than you gave him before the game?
That game was two things: a bigger breakdown, mental breakdown of Chicago, and Denver's defense keeping that game within reach, or keeping that game from getting out of hand, because it wasn't easy to move the ball, especially with Caleb Haney not playing any better than he played in previous weeks. But there was nothing that Tim Tebow did that I was like, oh, man, he did it to us again. No, there was nothing this guy did. They had one drive. They drove downfield. They scored a touchdown. In that drive, Chicago changes their defense. They changed their defense instead of being aggressive as they were the entire game. They kept them from getting downfield. They go into a prevent defense. They drop the safeties back to a cover two, which I have no problem with. But to drop the corners back and just give a 10-yard cushion and then give up everything underneath really didn't make sense to me, because they knew this guy was looking to run out the pocket. And that's all he was looking to do, was to get out of the pocket, get out on the edge, and make a play. So on that one drive, which was a pretty good drive by him, I can't take anything from him, 7-for-7, but he had some real easy throws to make. I mean, half the throws he made on that drive were dump offs to a running back, because Chicago gave them 5 to 10 yard cushion. No one was there in the middle of the field, 5 to 10 yards. They just gave it to him. So they drove it down and the scoring play. The cornerback leaves his man. Why do you leave your man in the end zone by himself? Is ridiculous. Before the quarterback crosses the line of scrimmage, he can still throw the ball. So you still have to stay disciplined. But they score.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And I've heard this. I could not. They didn't televise the game locally, so I could not watch the game. I was forced to watch the Packers game instead.
Ooh, that hurt.
Well, it was just, you know, I mean, it very quickly became a non-competitive game. So, but why, you know, you follow your team. Was there any rationale given by Lovie Smith, or or anybody as to why you had a scheme that was working and it shut them out the whole game? Why now all of a sudden change to a prevent defense?
I couldn't find anything. Because I don't know if they got a chance to interview him yet, but I didn't really see anything that he said. You know, I heard other analysts talk about the game. The first thing, you know, it was like, well, you know, they dropped into the cover two, which I forgot who said it. That's naturally what you would do if you're protecting the lead. You drop into the cover two, you keep your safeties back, you don't want them to get over top. But I couldn't understand why we should give up everything underneath as well. They needed two scores. It would make sense to make it as tough as possible, but no, I didn't hear. You don't hear any rationale from the coaches for why they changed the defensive scheme in the last 2 minutes of the game, and they were able to beat it. And they beat it for a score, but that's okay. I give them the 7, because if we play any other team and you give them that cushion to get downfield, they're going to take it. They're going to take everything underneath. Let the running back get that first down. They're going to keep driving until they can get an end zone. So you give them 7. That's fine. After that, it was a total mental breakdown by Chicago. How do you be a running back and not recognize in situational football to not go out of bounds? There are no more timeouts left between either team. Go down, let the clock tick. At most, they get 16 seconds. At most, they would have gotten anywhere between 16 to 20 seconds to try to get the ball in field goal range. Chicago has that. You can only make a couple throws to possibly get in range. And Chicago, and then they had it. But that's okay. We goofed. Mayor Ball runs out of bounds. Give them 58 seconds left. They don't do a whole lot to get in range. Chicago still plays decent enough defense. He kicks a 51-yarder. It goes in overtime. Cool. Coin toss. Come on, Chicago, please win the coin toss.
Actually, I think the one that sent it in overtime was 59 yards.
Yeah, it was a 59-yarder.
Yeah, the other one that won was 51. Yeah, no, it was 59. The one that sent it in overtime, that was the monster
51.
Kick.
Yeah. Okay, and by the way, real quick, I got to correct you real quick. On that, right before that kick did happen, Tebow did throw in the heart of that defense or the middle of the field. Straight cover four. That was a pretty nice pass between the safeties, FYI. But, yeah, for the most part, it was Dumbos. But I'm just saying, he made a play. Go on.
He made one good pass. That, I don't take anything from him, but I'm saying it was not him as much as it was Chicago breaking out. So they get the three, but now it's overtime. We win the toss. Mike Marsh, to my surprise, came out passing. He caught four straight passes, and also, to my surprise, Caleb Haney is connecting. Boom, boom, boom. Now we back in field goal range. He's like, hand off the ball. Hand off the ball. I'm thinking, hey, three handoffs, 50-some yards, they good all day long. Because there's no win in Denver. So as soon as I know as soon as Robbie goes get on the field, that game we win in overtime. Once again, another Marion Barber breakdown. How did you hit a hole and not cover up the ball is beyond me. I know you see daylight because he was about to take it home. Well, once he cleared the hole, he would have took it home. But I see a still picture of him hitting the hole, and he has the ball in one arm down below his waist, not even protected. And the guy has one hand on the ball. It's ripped out. All of a sudden, it's the magic. Everybody thinks it's Tebow. No, that was a good defensive play. A good defensive play. You only need a few more yards to get back in range. And now our defense is on their heels. They're straight pressure. Pressure the crack after so long. So,
what Tebow do under the pressure?
What do you want me to give him, man? You want me to say he completed?
Listen. The thing that I've noticed every week with you and with other people is there's always an excuse as to why it happened, but it just keeps happening. I mean, I'm just saying, like the whole time in overtime, even when when Chicago won the coin toss and had the ball, the whole time I knew. Again, first straight week, I just knew that for whatever reason, the Broncos were going to win the game. Somehow, some way, there's going to find a play to win the game. It seems to be the case every week. And when you do give, with six game-winning drives already, which is ridiculous this year, another chance at the ball, you already know it's game time. It's over. And
but you want me to give credit to a guy that didn't cause the fumble? You want me to give credit to a guy that didn't beat the game with the
nose?
I said
Denver was going to win the game. I said the whole... No, I didn't say Tebow was going to win the game in overtime. I said Denver's going to win the game in overtime because we've seen it week and week and week out. It seems inevitable. It really does. Like, no matter what happens, so they're going to make a play for whatever reason, and you guys know what I'm talking about, and, they're going to make a play and they're going to win the game. And it just, again, it always seems to happen. Now, I know you were sick to your stomach. You had every right to be. But,
can you imagine walking out of Buffalo Wild Wings with a whole bunch of freaking Denver fans screaming and yelling.
Was it Tebow in? Because I wasn't Tebow in.
Nobody Tebow. I wasn't even looking. I was trying to get up out of there. Oh, my God,
yeah,
man. It was just, it was, we didn't get Tebow. We got Denver. That was a total effort by Denver. Tebow got him in range when he needed to. He helped him get a touchdown. Chicago pretty much helped them get a touchdown. They helped him. I mean, they gave him every opportunity to stay in the game, every opportunity to stay in the game.
And see, and that's what I want to understand is who, hey, when you look at Chicago and you look at the fact, I mean, I don't necessarily agree that you just go in the cover too. When you've had it, your defense has shut them down all game. They have no points. There's no reason to just jump in the cover too. There's no reason for it unless they start moving the ball and you're afraid they're going to go over the top. Your defense is 10-0. So someone made those decisions, and I'm just wondering, what are your thoughts on your coach right now? And what are your thoughts on your quarterback? Because the other side of the fence is he lost another game as your starting quarterback, and you were not willing to concede that maybe, it's time to go out there and get somebody else. We know Mr. Favre has already come out and said he's done, so he's off the table. But, your playoff hopes right now are hanging by a very thin wire. And is it Lovie Smith? Is it Caleb Haney? I mean, if you're the general manager, what are you walking away from, and what are you doing about what you saw on Sunday? Because clearly there were a lot of Chicago mistakes down the stretch.
There were, and I think I keep forgetting the analysts when they raise these questions. Somebody raised a question that one was Marion Barber told to make sure to, you know, just remind, say, hey, you got to stay in bounds no matter what happened to this play. Did the coach remind him? Did Caleb Hayes say anything to him? Did somebody say anything to him? I mean, coaching is big when it comes down to late in the game and you're protecting, leading. You're just trying to get out of there with the win because it's all coaching decisions. And it is mind-boggling to why we changed the defense for whatever reason. I can't really answer that. Me, personally, I wouldn't have changed anything. This dude couldn't do anything with the ball. This man is running around in the pocket from sideline to sideline trying to find a way to get rid of the ball, and the defensive line would not let him escape. They kept him in check the entire game. Why do you change that? It's beyond me. Me, I wouldn't change it. Now, to correct you on the quarterback situation, I would have loved to see Dominic Mack. I mean, I'm not a coach, so I don't know how much this whole he needs to be familiar with the playbook thing really matters, but I know a dude can make plays. And right now, Caleb Haynes can't even do dump-offs. We ain't trying to go down the field for 15 to 20 yards. We're just trying to get you to dump it off to the running back for 2 yards. And he can't even accurately throw that pass. I mean, there were 2 passes he missed to Marion Barber. One could have went for a touchdown had he not overthrown him. He can't even do drop offs. So here we are with Caleb Haney at quarterback, who sold us a wolf ticket with how he played in the NFC Championship last year. 3 games left. One against Green Bay that we are not going to win without our starting quarterback and running back. We don't have a chance of winning without them two. 3 games remaining. And we have a mental breakdown in games that we are up 10 points with a little over 2 minutes left. Man, our season is done.
Now, mathematically, you're not done. You guys, matter of fact, you still have, you know, there's you and the Cowboys still in the hunt, 1 game out. So, I mean, you're still very much alive.
We're still very much alive, but that's a lot of hope. To be honest, looking at the way we played, if we cannot win a game where we are up by 10 with less than 2 minutes left, we're not winning anything. We're not winning anything else because the Seahawks are playing. They're playing good enough to beat us right now. Let's just put it that way. The Seahawks are actually playing good enough to come into Chicago and win that game. They're not doing anything offensively. And right now, it takes the coaches to be on point, the players to be on point, the fans to be on point. It takes everybody to be on point for us to win a game. We are down a starting quarterback and our starting running back, who was almost 50% of our offense. We are done there. We can't generate offense. It's a wrap.
I will tell you this, from where I'm sitting, Lovie Smith, he's in trouble because he hedged his bets on Caleb Haney. And we've sat here on this show, and I've said, why bet your money on an unknown, unproven commodity with veteran quarterbacks out there, including Brett Favre at the time, out there that might be willing to play? And you, don't have to disagree with you, you defended that. You said, you know, Caleb Haley, he's going to be okay. You felt like he was going to be okay. So you're now saying if you had it your way, you go get another quarterback, period.
No, I even said it last week that I wish they would have gotten Dominic Mack. I did say that last week. I don't know if either of you remember, but I said that. I didn't want Brett Favre, but I wanted McNabb.
Would you take Favre now? Would you take him now?
I still wouldn't take Favre.
So you would go.
I just want a quarterback that's been playing this year. One that's been playing, that's been in the active football, that's been doing it. I wouldn't mind having McNabb. I think McNabb can complete a dump off. You know what I'm saying? Because we didn't need Caleb Haney to win the game. We just needed to complete a few passes. Now, to Chicago's defense, just a little bit. They did want one for one quarterback in particular, but they couldn't get him off his couch. They wanted Mark Bolger. That's who they wanted to come in. They really wanted Mark Bolger to come in and show their offense. And he wouldn't get off the couch. He was like, no, he's not coming out of retirement. So they tried, and that's not out there that they tried to get Mark Bolger.
Oh, no, it's out there. We know.
Okay.
But he emphatically said, I'm retired, I'm all done. He didn't even let it become a story.
Right.
He's like, nope, I'm done.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, like I said, to the defense, just a little bit, they tried hard for one particular guy. They couldn't get him. They wanted somebody to be familiar with the offense. Like I said, I'm not a coach. I know it plays, but I just think you can actually coach your team to a win. Come on, man. The Chiefs coach Tony Talco into being a good guy.
There's a number of examples out there, and all I will say is that the decision to stick with Caleb Haney is going to cost somebody their job. Remember, I'm telling you, I said it before. I said, you guys are hedging your bets on this unknown guy with veterans out there. And remember, I said, you can take – I mean, I don't want to hear the West Coast offense is complicated. You can create a package of plays that a quarterback can come in a week and give him a package of plays and trust on his natural abilities, because he's a veteran, to make those plays. And then each week, build it up a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think you guys would have been – you would have beat Denver, in my opinion, because you should have beat Denver.
But let me ask this, not necessarily defending that, but, like, why is it that Houston lost number one and number two and they're coaching their team to win against a good team that are actually playing well right now? They coached their third-string quarterback to beat Cincinnati in the last minutes of the game. Why can't we coach Caleb Haney to win a game?
I'll give you an answer to that right now. Because the Houston Texans have a very QB-friendly system. It's pretty much dumbed-down reads. It's a bunch of, you know, run, rollout. Have one read down the field, flat, tight end corner. It's pretty simple. Really, the answer is Mike Marsh is the answer to all the problems right now in Chicago as far as Caleb Haney goes. Because let's face it, he's not ready to run that kind of offense with that much, honestly, possession issues up front with the offensive line anyway and all those patterns going out, especially with all the timing routes. So what the Houston Texans are asking T.J. Yates to do is a lot easier than what they're asking, you know, Caleb Haney to do, especially with Arian Foster and Ben Tate, two quality running backs rather than, basically no help at all around Caleb Haney as far as
offense. Haney's not even making the passes, though. I mean, every once in a while he'll
make it. No, he's not.
But, I mean, when you go out there and Tebow looks like a better passer than you, you got a problem. So I'm not going to put this on Mike Martz. I mean, this, you know, I saw the pass to Marion Barber that could have been a touchdown, and, just sailed over his head, and there were several of those. So the guy, and my problem is, as a coach, general manager, offensive coordinator, your job is to evaluate talent and to know, is this the guy, is he ready? And when you say yes, then he needs to produce. He getting paid. He needs to go out there. Maybe he ain't going to do like Jay Cutler. We can accept that. But he needs to be able to produce. I will give Denver credit. They know what they've got in Tim Tebow. John Fox knows what he's got and has built the system slowly around what Tebow can and cannot do. And thus, they are winning games. That's why I give them credit. Because they're not asking Tebow to go down there and be Aaron Rodgers or Peyton Manning. They're asking him to be Tim Tebow. And they're asking the defense, obviously defense has to do their part. They're asking the offense, like, here's who we have now. So here's what we're going to do. We're not just going to stick him in there and give him the same plays that, you know, Orton had or whoever else had. We're going to make this work for his skill sets. And it's working. You know, now, I want to segue into a little bit, very little, because I feel like I'm OD'ing on Tim Tebow. I found out today that Tebowing is a word now. It's actually been added to one of the dictionaries. Not an urban dictionary, a standard dictionary now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, as a verb. And I want to ask K-Star, since K-Star is over there in the AFC with his Steelers, do you think we're just getting too much of Tim Tebow now, or are you loving it?
I'm actually loving it for a few reasons. One, it takes away attention from the really, really good teams in the AFC. So my Steelers are somewhat flying under the radar, which is, I'm fine with that. And two, it's an awesome story. People can say what they want. They can have their feelings, but you can't act like you're not drawn in by the Tim Tebow stuff, especially when it's fourth quarter and you know what time it is, being Tebow time. And he's an absolute compelling character. We've all seen dramas on TV. Yeah, they're nice. But right now, the biggest drama on TV is Tim Tebow in the NFL. It really is, and the Denver Broncos and what they've done going from 1-4 to now 8-5. And actually, I want to share something real quick, by the way. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady by any means. I want to compare their first years together as starters. Tim Tebow, 133 now. Yeah, I was surprised by this too. 163 pass yards per game now with 65 on the ground. Brady's average was 198 yards per game. Brady went 11-3 as a starter. Tim Tebow 7-1 to this point. Now I'm not saying Tim Tebow is going to be top.
What are you saying?
What I'm saying is Tim Tebow still has a lot of room for improvement, and he'll continue to grow better as a passer. I said it a few weeks ago. They're winning games with him not playing great, as a quarterback, but he's still continuing to improve, and I think we're seeing it still. I mean, he threw the ball over 40 times against the Bears. 40 times. You would feel pretty good about your chances.
Listen, the only reason they're comparing him to Tom Brady as they're playing on Sunday. That's the only, and they're both quarterbacks. That's where it's got to stop. And to quote my friend Stephen A. Smith, you are so disrespectful to put Tom Brady in the same conversation with Tim Tebow. Unbelievable.
The first years of starters are very similar, though. And the fact that, listen, when Drew Bledsoe and the Patriots started the year, they were pretty bad. They were 1-3.
But Tom Brady.
Bledsoe, I don't understand this. I'm just saying the first year. I'm not looking at Tom Brady's career. I'm saying that first year. That's the only year I'm using.
I would bet you we would find a ton of quarterbacks with stats even better than Tebow and Brady their first year. The point is.
I agree.
That doesn't mean anything. Let's see where Tebow is in 10 years, if he's even still in the league. I will say this. The one thing that I'm a little irritated about with Tebow before we move on is I don't have a problem with his religious beliefs. I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't have a problem with the Tebowing and the praying and all of that. When people start to imply that this is what is happening down the stretch of ball games and that there's some sort of divine intervention that had Mary and Barbara run out of bounds or Mary and Barbara fumble or that forced the Bears to switch to a cover two so that Tebow can dink and dunk or the blown coverage on the touchdown. I now have a problem with that, okay? I don't like to really talk about religion, but what I know about religion is God isn't going to sit and pick and choose Tim Tebow over everybody else. Okay, just because everyone else doesn't wear their religion on their sleeve like he does, I respect the man. I ain't got no problem with it, and I believe he is sincere. But that ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in the fourth quarter. That's football. Okay, that's football. I'd like to hear Lovie Smith explain why they changed the defense. Marion Barber, I had him in the Dallas. I'm shocked that he ran out of bounds because he knows better. He doesn't have to be told not to do that. He's a veteran. I'm shocked he fumbled the ball because he was very sure-handed. Okay, I don't believe God is putting his hand in there and saying, let me help Tim Tebow out because he's such a God-fearing young man. That's not happening. It's something with this kid that's got his team playing on an extremely high level. I give him credit for that. The rubber's going to meet the road on Sunday, but we're going to get into that in a little bit. Let's go to the phones and take a call. We have a 615 area code. Must be a friend of Train's calling in to the Madden Voice.
Yeah, this is the same, man. I've enjoyed the show. I called in last week and kind of read y'all up about Favre. I'm glad you talked about Tebow because I'm with you. I'm a Christian, God-fearing man, and I'm a Tebow fan because he's so open with his faith. And I'm with you. I don't believe God's involved in making people win at all and stuff like that. But for a minute, did you not think that something is going on? The Chicago game, that game took the straw because they shouldn't have beat Chicago. And it's like everything happened in place for them to win. Did you not think that there might be some kind of divine intervention going on that game.
I'll tell you like this. If they beat the Patriots, I'm going to church Sunday night. Okay? You will find me at midnight mass. Okay? Going to church. I am dead serious. If they beat the Patriots, I may retract everything I just said if they beat the Patriots on Sunday.
Listen, I was watching that game, and I gotta agree real quick in a weird way, because I'm not at all, people who know me, I'm actually not really going to discuss my religious beliefs, because honestly, there's not much to discuss there. However, I will say this. Recently, it just seems like something's always going to happen for the Broncos' way for them to win. It's really kind of freaky.
Right.
No, it really is. And I was watching that Bears-Broncos game live, and the whole time I'm thinking to myself, the Broncos are going to find a way to win the game. This is before Marion Barr went out of bounds. This was before Tim Tebow let him down to even get 7 on the board. It was 10-0, 5 minutes left. I had a feeling the Broncos were still going to find a way to win the game just because we've seen it over and over and over again.
Crazy.
And when Marion Barber ran out of bounds, I literally screamed. I'm like, what the hell? What is going on? This is too weird. And again, when they won the coin toss in overtime, I was just saying, they're going to win this game. I don't care what Chicago does.
59-yard field goal.
He could be there from 89. I had no doubt the Broncos won the game. Even when the Bears were in field goal range, I figured, maybe they're just going to miss the field goal, whatever. I had no doubt the Broncos were going to win. Sure. And then it said Marion Barber fumbles. I'm just like, okay. All right. This is cute. What the hell? It's a little weird. I'm just going to say it's a little weird. And I've never thought this way before in my life. It's a little bit weird. That's
you can thank the media for that. You can thank the media.
Sure. I want to hear from Buck, though. What were you thinking about watching your boys crumble? They getting Tebow like everybody else. What are you thinking at the end of that game?
There's only one word that comes to describe what was going through my head as I watched from 2 minutes remaining to the fourth quarter all the way to the end of the game, and it was unbelievable. I could not believe what I was seeing. I mean, it was like 5 minutes. It was like 7 minutes left in the game. I'm sitting next to my boy Greg. We at the bar. We got the game on, big screen in front of us. I'm like, dude, there's no Tebow time. I'm kicking my heels 3 times. I'm sitting there saying, there's no Tebow time. It's not happening. And I'll be done if it happens. And it's just, all I can think is like, I can't believe this. It can't be happening, dude. This is unbelievable. I do not believe in any divine intervention for this man to win this game. I don't think I served a guy that shakes sides, but it was unbelievable what was happening.
You gotta think, Train, that down the stretch, all these guys are in tune to what's going on. They're all watching. They're all tweeting. They all watch ESPN. They all talk. And you gotta think. I'm telling you, it's the media. Down the stretch, when the Broncos got the ball and they started moving the ball, you got to think that Denver coaching staff and some of the players started thinking, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we've been seeing for the last 2 months, and now it's happening to us. And you got to think that it had to work on their heads just a little bit. Every time he completed a pass, every time, it has to. You can't. I mean, this is all we've seen on news for the last 2 days. They had it on the Today Show this morning.
That's the Today Show.
In the first segment, talking about.
I know y'all haven't talked about this yet, but is it possible? Can it happen on Sunday?
We're going to get into
that. No, man.
We're going to get into that.
Yes.
I'll listen. Hang up on me. I'll listen. I'll chime back in when y'all get to it, man. I enjoyed the show, though. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you calling in,
man. All right. Thank you,
man. All right. Thank you.
So real quick, T, I just want to read one quick quote that my friend, I believe you know as well, Hollywood Rico Williams, stated after the game. And I just thought this was kind of funny. All right. Rico Williams, quote, unquote, I'm wondering when – if Nike, they're going to give Tim Tebow LeBron James marketing campaign. How much better is it to be a witness of Tim Tebow? I'm a believer. We were led astray by a false prophet. We crowned him king before he won anything. Tebow has won at every level and not been given credit. The King James version that I'm reading has a different ending. The book of Tebow, ask yourself this. If Tim Tebow needs to get a postgame order to win, how hard would he work at it? I just found it to be pretty funny. But,
yeah. Well.
Go for
it. All right. I know. Every time I think of Rico, I think of the Madden Nation that he walked off the show. But anyway, all right. So let's get to the other game that had gotten everybody's attention. Let's get to the game that let's get to the Cowboy Giants Sunday night game. And you know, I saw the game, and I've watched a lot of the coverage, and I agree with some of it, and I disagree with some of it. I did say last week that the Giants needed this game a little bit more than Dallas, and I have to say it was a hell of a game. You know, as a sports fan, you can't ask for a better game than what you got with those two teams. And it's one of those games that you say, as a sports fan, it's kind of a shame that anyone has to lose because everybody left it out on the field on both teams. It was a heck of a game. And, you know, since it's my team and instead of me just going on a rant, why don't you guys ask me some questions? Maybe, you know, what are your thoughts on the game, and what y'all want me to explain to the Madden listeners out there?
Can I go first?
Go for it.
Let me say this so you understand why it happened. When the Bears lose and I get really upset, I fall asleep. So, for me to say, I kind of missed the whole comeback. I didn't where they had to come back from being 34-22. So, I just kind of want to know, like, where does the blame go for when you lead, when you have a 34-22 lead in a game where Tony Romo played pretty well. I mean, he played good. Very good. I mean, where does the blame go when you blow that lead? It's 34-22. I forgot how many minutes remained. I kept hearing people say there were so many minutes remaining.
About 5 minutes, I believe. If I'm correct, around 5 minutes, 1 o'clock. When the Giants had the ball, 34-22.
Where does that blame go? Because you had Rex Ryan is currently boasting, not Rex, but Rob Ryan is currently boasting that he's the best at his job. So, is it him? Is it not the players executing what he's asking them to do on the field? I mean, is it the defense? I mean, did the offense start to sputter and couldn't move the ball anymore? I mean, what does the blame go for that?
Well, you know, blame is a relative term. But, you know, first of all, Tony Romo played out of his mind, and so did Eli Manning. I mean, I have to say that I've been a very big critic of Eli Manning's this year, and I was thoroughly impressed and at times forgot that it was Eli and not Peyton back there. That's how good he looked. So I have to give credit where credit is due. Eli Manning played out of his mind. Tony Romo played out of his mind. Both of those guys showed why, in my opinion, I now have them both as top five quarterbacks. We can debate on the order after the big three, but I think they both showed that they're top five quarterbacks. I think Ben, I mean, you know, I know he was hurt and all that, but you know, his team is playing well. I don't know if Ben can hold on to being top five right now. He's got a great defense helping him out there, but we can debate that a little bit later. But Eli played an incredible game, and I hats off to him. I can't hate on him. He played very well. The problem is very simply the defense couldn't get a stop. Simple as that. The defense couldn't get a stop. You can talk about the pass Romo made to Miles Austin that, you know, if it's not a touchdown, it's damn sure a first down. But Miles had him beat pretty good, and Miles is pretty fast. I think it's a touchdown. And Miles later came back and said he lost it in the lights, which probably did, but I'm thinking, that's your home field. How do you lose a pass in the lights on your home stadium? I don't like that answer. But the defense just couldn't get a stop, could not make a play. And, you know, you had penalties, you had holding, you had DeMarcus Ware, your all-world defensive outside linebacker lining up off sides, you know, on a play that the ball was snapped over Eli's head and then we're off sides. And, I mean, the bottom line is the defense that had played average up to the last 5 minutes and 41 seconds played piss poor down the stretch. And do I blame Rob Ryan? Well, yeah, absolutely. He's the defensive coordinator. So, you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with him saying he's the best. And even, you know, that's, hey, man, be confident. But you're not showing it. And I want to address something that Keyshawn Johnson said last night on Monday Night Countdown. Okay, you know, it's amazing that all these people are here in Bristol, which is where I'm broadcasting from, 10 minutes from ESPN, might you know. And, you know, all these guys, you know, that if they don't live around here, they fly in and they do their shows and then they fly out. But they're all right here. Jerry Jones was in town today, I was told. John Bones Jones was in town today, I was told. All these guys right here in my town. And Keyshawn Johnson, I'm 10 minutes from this guy, and I want to go and slap him in his mouth. Because he had the audacity to say that sources that he knows on the Cowboys team is saying that the scheme is too difficult. The scheme is too challenging. Too many things going on. I know these guys, he said. These are friends of mine, but I can't name them. I have a problem with that. Okay. First and foremost, if you're playing defense and you have a problem with the scheme, why are you talking to Keyshawn Johnson, who is now a sports analyst? Why are you not going to talk to Rob Ryan? Why are you not going into his office and saying, man, dude, we got problems here, and as your cornerback, as your middle linebacker, as your safety, I need to tell you what I see, because I'm the one out there executing. There's not a coach out there who's worth his salt that isn't going to pay attention, particularly after that debacle down the stretch. Instead, you're sitting on the phone talking to Keyshawn? I just have a problem with that. Not saying that it didn't happen, which don't know that it did or didn't. But if that's the case, you don't need to be talking to Keyshawn. You need to be fixing a problem with your team, because what I saw in the last 5 minutes and 41 seconds was sickening. It was sickening. Tony Romo, who's the choker, who folds down the stretch, who, you know, K-Star has said it, and I don't believe in Romo, although lately he's coming around a little bit. Romo's get beaten up, the Detroit game and the Jet game, and this guy played out of his mind. He puts 34 points up on the Giants. He throws 4 touchdowns, just like Aaron Rodgers, just like Drew Brees. And you can't stop them one time down the stretch? You can't make a stop? I don't want to hear about the blocked field goal. They should have been able to make a stop, and that's my problem, and that's the problem with this team right now. I still believe that we're going to make the playoffs. I still believe that, you know, we're going to be competitive down the stretch, but I don't believe we have what the Patriots, the Packers, and the Saints have, which is an offense on a super level that can overcompensate for an average defense. We're not there yet. And now with DeMarco Murray gone for the year, it's going to be even harder. So Dallas needs to wake up on defense. They need to wake up pretty quickly. Or, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be, but it could be lights out. Let's go to the phones. We've got our friend at 615 wanting to jump in. Come on back with us. Are you with us, 615? All right. Maybe you didn't want to come back.
All right, that's fine. Hold on. We didn't get to my questions yet, okay? We didn't get to my questions to ask you about this game.
Hold on. You know, I'm on this Skype trying to host a show, and, you know, Skype, you're not doing well. Everybody's coming through blurry sometimes. All right. Say something, K-Star. I think you're clear now.
I was saying, man, I got some questions to ask you. So you never asked me if I had any questions for you. We just got you know, Train's questions, but I have some questions about this game.
I don't think you haven't got a chance to get around to you.
I think I'll skip over intentionally. I don't appreciate that.
No, go ahead. No. I said ask the questions, and then Train talked. So I didn't.
All right, here we go. All right. For the Giants-Cowboys game, by the way, the only person to pick the Giants, no big deal. Anyway. Before the Giants-Cowboys game here, I said the Giants control their own destiny, as do the Cowboys. And you called me a hater for no reason. I didn't say anything bad, not at all, not in the slightest bit. I just felt like the Giants, you know, played a great game against Green Bay. Technically, they control their own destiny, seeing as how they played twice. And you had the audacity to call me a hater.
Can I explain that last week? I got to explain it again. I can explain it again. I stand by my you are a hater. You are a Dallas hater. You are a Romo hater, and I stand by that. Last week, I made a post about after the fact that the Cardinals had beaten the Cowboys, and my comment was, don't fret, guys. Dallas still controls it, their own destiny, all as well. And then you jump in and say, well, so do the Giants. It was unnecessary. Had nothing to do with what was going on. It was just you jumping in and hating. It wasn't even relevant to the conversation. It was just a chance for K-Star to jump in and do what he does, which is hate on the Cowboys. That's what
you do. That's not true at all. I said in that quote, as did the Giants, it will definitely be an interesting finish for sure. That's what I said. I didn't say anything bad. It wasn't relevant to my comment.
My comment had to do with the fact that the Cowboys had lost to the Cardinals, and everybody was saying how the world was coming to an end, because that's what happens in Dallas, is the world comes to an end when you lose a game. And I was saying, guys, and I say it today. The statement still stands true. If Dallas wins out, they win the division. Even though they lost, even though the Giants still control their own destiny, it's not relevant to me. I'm worried about the Cowboys, and right now with every 2 losses in a row and the sky falling and Jason Garrett on the hot seat, which is a bunch of bull, Dallas wins out. They beat Tampa Bay, which if they don't beat Tampa Bay, they have no right going to the playoffs. Philly at home, which is not out of the realm of reality, and going to New York and beating the Giants, which they did last year. It's not unreasonable that Dallas wins out and wins the division. That's all. And so my comments are in response to the garbage I hear from other Cowboy fans who want to blow this thing up because we have a couple of losses in a row and forget how good it felt when we were 7-4.
Gotcha. And real quick about the game. Tony Romo played a great game. He did. He played a great game. But I can't sit here and say he's elite. Now, the only reason why I say it is because when you see, look at certain guys, like Brady, you know, and because he's clutch, I'm going to bring Ben up, obviously. When you have Miles Austin open for a touchdown to seal the game, you have to hit the throw. I'm not sure if it was Miles or Bromo, whatever.
Miles said he lost the ball in the last touchdown. So that wasn't right.
We know he said that. We don't know if that's true. But, I mean, regardless, you got to make that play, man. One or the other, Bromo, Austin, someone has to make that play there. I'm not saying it's Romo's fault. I'm just saying those great quarterbacks, they make sure that game's iced. When the game is on the line, you got to ice that game.
I don't think that's a fair assessment. All quarterbacks, I don't care how great they are, they miss a couple like that. They will miss a couple, and they might.
Through the course of the season.
You can't break it down to say, oh, man, they need to make that one play to ice the game.
Because it's wrong.
Again, they put 34 on the board. They should have won the game. Regardless.
4 touchdowns, 34 points against the Giants.
Exactly. I'm just saying they're great. And Romo's very good. I'm just saying I don't believe he's great. And we've seen it time and time again as far as that goes. You have a chance to win the game. You got to close that shit out.
But the fact that Miles said I lost the ball in the lights doesn't matter to you. It's just the play didn't happen.
Absolutely not, because you know a good wide receiver should say that. You should bail his quarterback out. You don't want the quarterback to take all the heat like that. I have a fair criticism because Romo just said after the game to pretty much throw Miles under the bus and say, oh, well, Miles Austin, you know, he lost under the lights. I'm not really sure what happened there.
I realize that Austin has missed 8 out of the 13 games, including the last 4. These guys haven't even played together. They barely practiced, okay? So, you know, let's put everything in perspective here. I don't blame Romo for that play. Romo has made, just as every quarterback has, his share of poor passes this year.
Yes.
And I don't think there's a quarterback out there that hasn't done that. That one was not on Romo. Miles is an all-pro wide receiver, 2 Pro Bowls. Why isn't he stretching out for that ball?
No, I agree. Actually, you know what? In fact, I said, why didn't he at least dive for the ball? That was my first thought.
Why is he laying out for that ball? It's 3rd and 4. You're wide open and you're not laying out for that ball. I got to blame Miles, you know. I'll blame Tony. If it's Tony's fault, I'll blame him. But Tony is playing on a very high level these last few games, as I said he would. It's just – that didn't surprise me. What surprised me was Eli also playing and arguably maybe a little higher level. It's close. I mean, the stats between these guys are close. The record is the same. It's a very – now it's a very good debate.
It's been a good debate.
As to who's playing. I think they're both playing very, very well. The difference was when the Giants needed to make a stop, although did the Giants really make that stop or did the Cowboys stop themselves? But their defensive, that JPP guy is insane. I mean, he's that guy is scary.
Yeah, he's scary.
But
I said weeks ago. However, real quick, Eli Manning. I feel like he validated my opinion of Eli. He's been great, the whole fourth quarters of this season. He's been just lights on. Yeah, he kind of looked like Peyton in that game. It was a little insane. But Eli Manning's playing at a super, super high level. He's about to be there.
Very good game between two good teams, man. It's, wow. Now, mind you, I needed that game to go in overtime. I really did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we going
to?
I think he's coming out a little bit.
My bad. Here we go. I'm back. I hit the mute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. We put Train on the hot seat. We put Commissioner T on the hot seat. It's time for us to put K-Star on the hot seat, okay? And now the Steelers won. Big Ben is hurt. He came back. Whatever I could say, I don't think he's top five right now, but it doesn't matter. He wins, and he's tough as nails. I got to give Big Ben credit. You know, there ain't a lot of quarterbacks that would have came back from that kind of – that looked ugly. Okay, it looked ugly. That
season was over.
I
thought season was over. I really did.
You know, but Big Ben, once again, and he's done this before, comes back, and I give him all the credit in the world. But I'm not talking about Big Ben. I'm not talking about Polamalu. I'm talking about James. How many times do you need to penalize Harrison? Now, the guy's a freak.
Wow.
Okay? He's a great player. This has nothing to do with his athlete. He's a great player. But what is wrong with him where he has to continually get fined? Now, you guys, in arguably biggest, you know, here you guys are fighting for number one seed division. You got to go and play San Francisco Monday night, and you may not, he's going to appeal, but you may not have one of your better defensive players, a game changer. Talk to us about one. Do you think that deserved to be the suspension is justified? And two, is Harrison going to learn, or is this just the way it's going to be until, you know, he's out of the league?
James Harrison, now, honestly, since it's been a one game, so he is absolutely going to miss the San Francisco game, which to me is ridiculous for one reason and one reason only. This year, he has not been penalized for any late hits. He's been actually probably the least penalized Steeler. Ryan Clark has been far more penalized this year than James Harrison, especially with helmets and helmet. The one time James Harrison draws a helmet and helmet hit this year, he gets suspended. Now, I know, he had stuff in the past, but let's leave that in the past. Can we go to a year-to-year basis? This is ridiculous. Why is this man suspended because of one play he dropped the helmet on the quarterback? I understand you're not supposed to do that, but let's be real. Cole McCoy is a very short man. He's pretty much a dwarf-playing quarterback. Right? It happened to turn out that he was a little bit shrugging a little bit when he was running towards James, and James happened to drop the hammer, which he often does. I don't believe in his intentions were to hurt Colt McCoy. It just happened that way. Because guess what? It happens every week with someone. And now it finally happened to James Harrison this year. Mind you, we are in week 14. Week 14 is first incident. They're going to suspend him. And the game of this magnitude against the Niners. Like, this is absurd. Honestly, it makes me speak to myself because I know if he does have another slip-up, it could be, as I read today, a massive suspension. Him and Stu apparently are both put on notice as far as that goes. And that terrifies me because, again, one slip-up, which, guess what, every NFL football player on defense has, at least once a season, one more slip-up, and he's apparently could be suspended in a playoff game, if that were the case, which I read about 20 years ago before the show. So I'm terrified. I'm scared because...
K-Star. You keep saying one slip-up like he's a rookie. What do you think, everything resets because we're in another season? You think the sins of the past are forgotten because we're in another season? The guy has
should.
A history.
Really, honestly, it should.
Why?
It
he has a
should.
History.
The history
he has a
started.
Track record.
Hold on. The history started last year when the NFL abruptly just started, we're going to start suspending players. We're going to start finding them heavily. It happened out of nowhere, 1 week last year against the Browns, when everyone got popped that week. Dante Robinson destroyed DeSean Jackson. He got hit with a heavy fine.
Talking about James Harrison and a pattern here.
I understand that.
Come out and said publicly, I'm not changing how I play football. Remember that statement last year? I'm not changing how I play football. In my opinion, and even today, I mean, he's a great player. He might have a couple sandwiches short of a picnic. Why do you tweet LOL? I mean, you get fined or you get suspended, and then you want to laugh at the commissioner? You want to mock it? This is the guy who can suspend you over and over again? I mean,
because it's ridiculous, though, Pete. Like, it really is. Like, because it's going to happen. It happens with everyone. Like, understand, okay, now, again, him being suspended, this is the first instance this year. And you know what? Honestly, if you ask me, it should reset because there's so many times, there's so many snaps that happen to the course of the season where, guess what? It's going to happen. And now he's so magnified where when it finally did happen, boom, suspension. And it's just going to get worse. It really is.
Why is he magnified? He's magnified because he did it repeatedly. He's magnified because he laughed at it when he was getting fined. He made a mockery of the fact that they are trying. Honestly, I don't think the hit was that bad. But knowing who you are and knowing your track record, you can't – I mean, hey, let's look at one of the greatest players of all time. And I saw this on TV, and I was like, wow, this is such a great point. How many times has Ray Lewis been fined?
Well, not too much, I'll be honest. I'm not sure. I don't know if he's ever been fined.
Just
a few weeks ago, he had a helmet on Hines Ward, which gave Hines Ward a concussion. Just further my point, it's going to happen with everyone. It's going to happen a lot. Ray Lewis lays vicious hits on people on a consistent basis. However, when James Harrison does it, even when it is legal, which a couple of those hits last year were legal, which you were fined on after the fact, guess what? It's come to uncharted territory with this man, James Harrison. I'm in fear for his career in the league because it's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again after that because, again, it happens to everyone. But the only difference with James is he is the most magnified defense player in the NFL when it comes to this stuff. So it's like if a man slips up, he's done. He's pretty much done.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Practice, man. I mean, how silly is that?
I'm sorry. I just think maybe your boy got to go back and to the drawing board or something, man. Because
what?
You know he's gonna end up losing. He's gonna end up losing, right?
I mean, that's what terrifies me. Because
and
I
it's gonna hurt your
ridiculous.
Team. And it's good. You guys are having a huge game Monday night, and he's most likely. I mean, he's gonna appeal.
No, he's out. He's not able to play.
They didn't hear the appeal yet, so I'm just saying most likely.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But most likely he's not going to be there, okay? And to me, if you're on the team and you know who you are and you know your reputation, your team comes first. So you need to figure this out. You sit down with your defense coordinator, sit down with your head coach, sit down with somebody, sit down with God, I don't know, sit down with Tim Tebow, sit down with somebody. And say, I need to figure this out because you need to be on that field for your team. That's the bottom line. At the end of the day, you need to be on that field for your team. Now your team's got to figure it out without you. He's all pro, mega superstar, one of the best players in the league, and he's going to be sitting home because he can't figure out how to tackle a little scrawny quarterback. I mean, really?
Well, man, let me say this. I agree with K-Star in the sense that, yeah, it should reset every year. And if he is a repeat defender, I don't know that the man was warned that he'd be suspended if he got a helmet to helmet this year. I don't know if he got a letter to say, hey, if you get a helmet to helmet on another player, we're going to suspend you for a game. I think the suspension is foul. It's his first incident this season. Yeah, I think the suspension is foul. I don't see other people get helmet to helmet. None of them got suspended. No, they may not be repeat defenders. Some of them were repeat defenders, and they didn't get suspended. But his first one this year, it came on a very fast play.
Hey, Train, I just want to make sure I understand. I just want to make sure that I'm understanding you correctly. You're saying this guy who's been fined, I think, four times, needs to be warned if it happens again, we're going to suspend you?
He
doesn't know not to do this again after four times.
I still think you give a warning to a player. It's no different than the Earl Bennett wore them freaking orange shoes. They pretty much told him, look, you have him a third time, we're not letting you out on the field.
Do we know that he wasn't warned?
I've never heard of the warning.
I don't know if he was warned, but everything that I read does not say, none of it said that, hey, he was warned, that if he did it again, he was going to be suspended. I haven't read or seen anything that said that he was pre-warned not to let it happen again, and then he would get suspended. I mean, the play happened so fast. I saw the scramble, and then I saw the hit, and I was like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my man was like a football length away from crossing the line of scrimmage to the point where he's going to be turn from a quarterback into a running back. And as he came in, rolled the shoulder, but it ended up being run with the helmet because he had just released the ball out of his hand. But still, I don't think he's suspended, dude. I mean, I don't know that he got a one. I don't agree with the suspension, period.
I will put it to you guys this way. I mean, we can debate whether he should or shouldn't have gotten suspended. I see no basis to reset. This is your career. You don't get forgiveness for what you did last season because we're in another season now. You know, these are repeat mistakes from the same guy on the same team in the same position. He's got to get it through his head not to keep doing this. And you don't get to reset the clock because we're in another season. I see no logic in that. You're expected. These are the rules now. If anything, now he's had a whole off season. Okay, there was no, you know, training camp and all that. But he's had an off season to really think about, okay, hey, these are new rules. I need to get my junk together. So he has to be held to the same expectation as everybody else. The problem is he's got a track record. Just like Sue, he's got a track record. Just like others that have track records, he's got a track record, and he can't escape it. And I think if it got flagged, which it did, then I have to say that they called it as an illegal hit on the field. It was marginal to me. I would love to, maybe in another show, we'll debate these rules because I think they've taken it too far. But I've seen a lot of consistency in these type of plays. I've seen them in a lot of games. They're throwing the flag.
What's going to happen, though? Let me ask you this. Do you agree or disagree with the suspension?
I agree with it because he's a repeat offender. I see no reason to start over because it's a new season. You know, I don't get that at all. These are hits. We saw what happened to Anquan Boldin. Okay, these are hits that you know could kill somebody. Okay, and so the NFL, to its credit, with all the concussions that we've seen, is trying to figure out a way to cut back on the helmet-to-helmet hits, especially on defensive players. And so Harrison, as a repeat offender, I think the suspension is justified.
My whole problem with it, though, it's going to happen again. Like, really, with everyone. It's a bane play. They take over thousands of snaps a year. He's going to have a helmet-to-helmet. It's going to happen. And just to suspend him now just because of past transgressions, on a bane play with no malicious intent, from what we can see on it, I just think that's a little absurd. It really
I just would like to know if the guy actually had a warning. That's what I want to know.
I never heard that he did.
A written warning that says, hey, you've been a repeat offender. You need to, you know, if we get another hit from you that we consider vicious helmet to helmet, we're going to suspend you for a game. I just want to know if you get a warning.
And I will just say this. If you've been fined, I will say this. I think it's if you've been fined four times, and I do believe it's four that he was fined, I don't think you need a warning. I think four times is enough to know this is not – this is something you need to not do again.
See, so I'm just saying, though, that last year, for instance, against the Bills when he got fined, the hit was clean. It was just vicious. Against Drew Brees last year, it was vicious. It was clean. They're fining him to fine him. I'm telling you. They are.
Well, maybe. Well, that's another I won't dispute it because at this point now I don't remember those hits. So I can't go. I'd have to go back and look at them again and give you my opinion. But I can say that if I'm sitting in the NFL front office and I've got a player from last year who was fined four times, and now we're in this season, and it happens again, I'm pretty pissed off whoever makes the final decision, I'm pretty pissed off. My first thought isn't, well, it's a new season, he's been good. My first thought is, didn't this guy learn? I don't find him and find him. I guess the money isn't doing it. All right, gotta take a game away. Let me take a game away. You know,
This is the first NFL tackle since 1985 to warrant or to actually have someone suspended over. Just fun fact.
Well, it won't be the last. All right, let's go to the phones. We got a caller here, 404 area code 404. Welcome to the Matt and Boy.
His cousin. What's up, little buck?
Yeah. What's up, man?
First of all, I'm disgusted in the Bears because they couldn't help Oakland out. I'm disgusted. I was at work. I put the game on DVR. I come home. I tell nobody, don't tell me the score. I even text you. You didn't send me no message. So I don't know what's going on. So then I'm like watching the game, and I see that Chicago's getting Tebowed. What's going on? What is going on?
Wait a minute. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said help the Raiders?
Yeah, help the Raiders.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Raiders fans.
Man,
we need help. We asked Chicago Bears to do one thing. Let me ask you a question,
Raiders fans.
Yes.
Train's cousin. Why didn't y'all show up? I didn't necessarily expect y'all to beat the Packers, okay? They're a juggernaut.
Listen. I don't know if they was partying in Green Bay. I didn't know if there was anywhere to go in Wisconsin to party and not come out and play a game. I have no idea. The bus picked up the wrong team. They picked up the high school team. That wasn't the real Oakland Raiders. I don't even know what that team was. I have no clue what the field. I was at work. I DVR'd the game. I went in and saw the game during break, and I said, you know what? I need to erase my DVR. But I just used up a whole bunch of space for nothing.
Mm.
But I did want to chime in real quick. We're going to get back to the Bears and the debacle of what's going on right now. But I play football. I play football. I coach football. What happened to keeping your head on the swivel? I'm tired of these quarterbacks being superly protected by their football players first. That's what they are. They didn't sign their football player. They're not just a quarterback. You're a football player. You're paid to go out there and play football. Keep your head on the swivel and nobody knocks you out. That's what happens. You know you Colt McCoy. You know you didn't ran people when you was at Texas and ran the score up. When that ball was intercepted or a ball fumbled and you know the ball goes away, get your butt around. Who's going to jump down on you? You get in the ground, nobody's going to touch you. Keep your head in the swivel. I'm tired of us, we protecting these quarterbacks. They're getting paid millions of dollars, and they can't even take a hit.
It's quarterbacks walking water these days.
Well,
yeah,
but complaining about it isn't going to change it. There's been, you know, we've seen in the NFL what happens to particularly quarterbacks that stayed maybe a little too long and got, you know, a lot of players and these concussions. Concussions are an issue. This is not make believe. This isn't made up. These concussions from
these hits are an issue.
He probably
had that concussion since he was in high school. Them ailments. That happens then, man. You don't all of a sudden just start getting sick of concussions. This kid gets I saw a kid get a concussion. Justin Hoskins played for the University of Notre Dame. I saw a kid get a concussion. You know what I'm saying? When you get a concussion, you don't know where you at. You don't know what's going on. And, I mean, those things happen. And this kid went on and played, wanted to go back in the game. I literally played another quarter and a half. I mean, people compete. People do. You play the game. I mean, we get concussions in our heads. Look up. You remember when King on that bench?
Who?
on the bed, when he hit his head on the bed?
We're talking pro football. You can't compare high school football or bumping your head on a curb to the level of hits that go on in pro football. Violent, 250-pound, 275-pound men coming at you with full force. Those hits are worse than some car accident.
High school football. You mean tell me you ever see somebody get hit violent in high school football?
You're not like it a pros. Come on now. Come on. You're going to compare high school football to NFL.
Listen to me. At any level that you're playing at your age, or whatever weight you are and size you are, that's the level you're at.
Say,
it's no different than Pee Wee League to NFL.
So he's calling it proportional to the level at which you're playing. That may be arguable, but at the same time, it's still NFL level hit, which is almost like it's
you're right. You're right. It's NFL level.
You know, and
that quarterback. I
agree with you on one point: is that there is a little too much protection for quarterbacks, and they need to look out for themselves. You can't be running after all willy nilly and think that you're going to easily get this pass off. Every time you get ready to throw that ball, if the defender is close, they're looking to put a hit on you just so they can rattle you for the next play and for the remainder of the game. They want to let you know that, hey, I'm here, and you were 1 second away from getting pummeled. So next time you might want to do something. So I agree with you there in a sense. Quarterbacks, you know, they kind of need to look out for themselves a little bit because you are a football player first. You're not just a quarterback. Yeah.
Listen. If you don't want to get hit, get on the ground.
You're trying to make a pass. I mean, you're throwing the ball. I mean, this isn't. He was just scrambling. He threw the ball. You know, let's look at the. This isn't. I understand what you're saying. If someone's scrambling, the quarterback has the right to slide and protect himself. Absolutely. He was throwing the ball though. Made a pass. So I mean.
Okay. So at what point, like, as a defensive player, you play football?
I have played football, absolutely.
Okay, you played defense.
I was a defensive end, and I was a sack man.
Down.
You tell me how long it takes you to stop from to make a sack at court, especially if you already lost yourself.
It's technique, and what these guys have to now learn is I agree that the way football was taught before they changed the rules, these hits were legal. And so I agree, and last year was a rough year because it was kind of a transition year. But now the rules are the rules. And if you want to keep playing, as James Harrison said, this is how I've been playing all my life, this is the way I'm going to play. Okay, that's your choice as a football player.
You know,
but guess what? There's going to be fines.
I teach kids to tackle. I tell them to see what they're tackling. You got to see what you're tackling. Get up. Through the body, you tackle through the body, wrap up. I mean, I see.
And I believe that on this play, I believe that Harrison was going for the chest plate. And I believe that at the last second, Colt McCoy's body and his head turned enough to where there was a helmet to helmet contact. I believe that. However,
is Harrison a dirty player? I don't think so. Is he short? Very short. He's a short player for his position. I do think that some earlier fines that he's received are not even nowhere near credible like the one, like the other hit the other night. Now, if that hit the other night was the first fine he ever received, go get him. But when you find him for the little mess that you keep fighting him for, and it really isn't at no level, you know what I'm saying, this hit the other night, that's when you have a problem. When is it a Pittsburgh rule?
It seems like that's it is. It's been a problem. They last year he had two fines that I've seen many worse football plays on one Sunday, or every Sunday, than I saw two fines he got last year. I don't know if anyone remembers it, but the hit last year on Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he hit him in the chest very, very hard as soon as he threw the ball, and it hit on Drew Brees on Sunday Night Football last year. Again, it was after he got rid of the ball. It was a little too rough. For a reason, the NFL is trying to send a message to James Harrison, maybe even the Steelers, that the way they play is just not conducive to the way they want them to play. Because
I honestly, K-Star, think the problem, part of the problem is you have to be a little bit remorseful. You have to own up a little bit and just say, my bad. And Harrison is not one to do that, and I think that's his biggest problem. You don't have to mean it. I could care less whether you mean it or
that's
not.
That's probably true.
Play the game. But when you go out there and say, this is ridiculous, and today he tweets, LOL, oh, well, I'll just get ready for my next game, you are laughing at the commissioner who is the one making these decisions. And you're not going to win. You're not. It's like going against your head coach. You're not going to win. So do you want to play football or not? If you want to play football, then if you make the mistake, at least show, hey, it wasn't my intention. I hope Colt McCoy is going to be okay. I'm going to continue to learn from this and try to improve and not let this happen again. Something where the commissioner can say, okay, he's getting a message. We saw Sue, right? After the thing with Green Bay, I was trying to adjust myself, and I wasn't doing anything bad, and the man upstairs knows what I was doing.
Sue looked like a complete dummy doing that.
Right. Not an out. And then afterwards, someone buzzed in his ear and said, dude, man, you look like an idiot, man. You need to go on and retract that and show a little bit of remorse.
But that's not even good for a man to do that. I mean, your words come out the way they came out. All these retraction statements and, oh, I want to issue something new. All you do is make people look even worse than what they did before.
Oh, he needed to retract. No. He needed to come back out and apologize because he looked real bad. There was no making himself look any worse with what he said. He did the right thing. I mean, he's still going to get suspended because there's another guy with a history.
No, he wasn't doing it for him. He was doing it for his sponsors, anybody who was paying a check to Sue and had to answer some questions. That's what he wasn't doing it for to the football fans.
Doesn't matter.
The football fan don't
doesn't
care. We want to see him on Sunday.
Doesn't
I didn't
matter.
Care if Sue apologized. I'm still going to watch him play that quarterback.
My point is, I don't care whether it's sincere or not. Do it. Harrison, not only is he getting fined and now suspended, he is not showing any type of remorse, not even a little bit. He's got to show a little bit of, okay, I'm going to keep trying something. He's not showing anything. He's laughing at the commissioner. When you say, you know, you and K-Star saying, you know, is this a Steeler thing? Is it, well, it may be a James Harrison thing because he's not showing any type of regret at all, not even a little bit. And I'm going to tell you, if he doesn't, it's going to keep happening. He's got to step up and acknowledge something for the commissioner, for the front office.
But I will say this one thing, T. I will say this one thing you kind of hit on when you said, you know, Harrison going in for that hit, and at the last minute, you know, after Colt McCoy gets rid of the ball, he kind of takes that dip. And what would have been a kind of like shoulder to chest or maybe helmet to chest hit ended up being a helmet to helmet hit. And my thing is, like, the NFL sees these films, and I know they got to analyze them, like, over and over and over and over and over again to make sure that, is this fine warranted? Should we fine this guy? Should we suspend this guy? Why they don't see what we see?
Because he's got a history. Because he's got a history, number one, and number two, because he doesn't do the right thing afterwards. If you come out and say anything that shows any level of regret, hey, I didn't mean to do it. I see I got penalized for it. I'm not a malicious player. I'm not out to take anybody out. I'm going to look at the film and see what happened, but I hope Colt McCoy is okay. And listen, that's not my intention at all. I play hard, but
he still
gets
fine.
Something.
He still gets fine. Regardless of Harrison comes on and says that, they're still going to do what they do to him.
We don't know that because he didn't do it. We don't know it because he hasn't done it. As a matter of fact, he's gone the other direction and laughed at the league. Better off saying nothing.
When I played high school football and I hit quarterbacks, I didn't get up and want to say, how you doing, fella? Let's go out to the club later. I wanted to embarrass him. I wanted his girlfriend to be in the stands and see me knock him out.
All right. With all due respect, you weren't playing for $8 million a year. You weren't playing it's not the same. I appreciate the similarities.
It's the barbaric sport that we
I
have
understand.
All bought into.
And on the field, I don't expect him to shake Colt McCoy's hand and help him up. But after the game, when you have a history and you know a fine or a suspension is looming, you owe it to your team. Forget us as fans. You owe it to your team to do everything in your power to keep yourself on that field. And instead,
when has Ray Lewis ever did that?
When has Ray Lewis been fined? When has Ray Lewis been suspended?
But Ray Lewis has hit people just as hard.
He really has. That's what bothers me. That's what kills me. Ray Lewis has laid people out, but when Ray James Harrison does it, there's an issue with it. And he even had a helmet-to-helmet, a huge helmet-to-helmet to Hines Ward just a couple weeks ago. Came with a concussion, not from the game.
I hear what you're saying. We're going to have to move on because we're running out. But I will say this. Ray Lewis hits very hard and very aggressively. I agree with you. But when has Ray Lewis been fined, and when has he been suspended? And that's
the
difference.
What about Ronnie Lott? Let's get the rules out here who's to knock people out.
These rules were not in place then.
So
no, there's a lot of players back then.
It's the same game.
But it's a different game today. The NFL is making changes, and these players have to roll with the punches. You're getting paid millions and millions of dollars to play this game. It's not asking too much for you to roll with the changes in the rules, just like everybody else has to do. There's other rules that affect other, you know, that look at the special teams rule, you know, and kicking from the 35 now, and look at what that did to the Bears and Devin Hester. Okay, there's rules that happen, and you have to adjust. This is another one. You got to adjust. You got to figure it out.
So
you're getting paid
other
words, money.
Entertain them fans.
Is that what
you're saying?
It's rules set up by the league.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play in the league, you have to figure out how to play by these rules. It's their rules. If not, then don't play in the league then. Go do something else. But if you're going to play NFL football today, not when Ronnie Lott played, not 5 years ago, but today, these are the rules. And it is clear that they're not backing away. And so at the end of the day, we can debate it all day. They can debate it on every show. But come Monday night, the bottom line is, in a big game, the Steelers will not have one of their best players in a very important game. And that's the bottom line. All right, we got to move on. Appreciate the call. Right. Thanks a lot. And let's go on. And since we're talking, I wanted to touch on a few other things. I thought it was very interesting to see. And I liked it. I got to be honest. I liked it to see the golden boy, Tom Brady, on the sideline with an argument after an interception from his offensive coordinator. Okay, I enjoyed it. It doesn't mean it's never happened before, but I'm glad it got the spotlight because I am so tired of Brady can do no wrong. Okay, I'm tired of these guys can do no wrong. These guys are human. They make mistakes too. Now, granted, they're incredible quarterbacks, but they make mistakes too. I was glad to see that. I was happy to see that. But, Train, let me ask you. What do you think about the offensive coordinator getting on Brady like that? Smart move, good move?
I mean, he's offensive coordinator. He's above him. And in the Charter Command, he's above him. And he had it right if he thought what Tom Brady said was wrong. But just real quickly, when Jay Cutler said something that didn't even get to my mark, he was ridiculed as not a leader. So is Tom Brady not a leader anymore? Of course not. He is still the leader of that offense. But in this case, he was wrong. He blamed the receiver for a pass that he should not have thrown. The coordinator didn't like the fact that he blamed the receiver and told him, you throw a better pass. You throw it to an override receiver or you eat it. Way to go, offense coordinator.
Right.
I was happy to see that because I found it. I said it when it came out about Jay Cutler. It happens to everybody. Sometimes you and your coach are going to get into it. You and your position coach are going to go back and forth about something.
All right.
I'm just.
K-Star?
Yeah, for the most part, I share the same thoughts because, again, I mean, the coach is a coach, and, you know, every player, no player is perfect. Someone, you know, people can do wrong, even Tom Brady, obviously. I mean, it is Tom Brady, but again, what do we have coaches for? To sort of mess up like this, especially since Tom Brady was getting out as receiver, which, you know, maybe he's justified, maybe it wasn't. It was a bad throw regardless. But, I thought it was a little excessive maybe because that was a shouting match. That was like a TO type situation out there with the coach. But a little bit of a shouting match, but at the same time, I got to agree, it was definitely a little refreshing to see because how often we see Tom Brady get chewed out by any coach. Ever. I don't think I've ever seen it ever happen before, to be honest with you. So, I mean, that was, you know, good to see. That was perfect.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this. I was happy to see it. I think that offensive coordinator is just ridiculous. I think he's dumb. I think that he's putting his job on the line because, you know, we're not talking about Caleb Haney. You know, we're talking about Tom Brady, okay? Now, should Tom Brady have been talked to? Absolutely. But that turned into a shouting match where Bill Belichick had to walk over. And where did he walk over to? He walked over to the coach and said, shut up. Not to Tom Brady, who was sitting down. I look at body language And my problem is Tom Brady's sitting down in a passer position, and this guy's standing up over yelling at him.
Yeah.
And you can see Brady saying, it's over. Brady, that's how Brady is. He made a mistake. He understands he screwed up. Now he's like, okay, let's look at some film, or I mean some clips here, some pictures, and let me get ready. Brady is he's the ultimate professional. Now, should the coordinator have said, hey, what was going on? What were you thinking? You know, whatever. Absolutely. That's his job. But when it goes to escalate to that level, maybe Brady blew him off and was like, yeah, I know. You know, maybe Brady didn't kiss his ass or whatever. I'm going to tell you, keep an eye on this story. Keep an eye on this story, because you are messing with sacred ground when you go off on Tom Brady on national TV like that, and your head coach has to come over. And what are you going to do? People are separating. What are you going to do, beat him up?
Right. You know, yeah, I didn't understand that. Why did he feel needed? Why did he have to be separated? Yeah, exactly. It escalated to a ridiculous point. I got to agree with that. Real quick, we've seen so many offensive coordinators go, come and gone. Well, with the Patriots anyway, this guy isn't any special. Come on, Tom Brady is really that. You know, what makes that offense go anyway. So I do definitely agree with you as far as that goes.
So I enjoyed it, just like both of y'all did, because you get a little tired of the golden boy being put on a pedestal. But when I look at it, when I take my bias hat on, I look at it impartially, that offense coordinator, his days are numbered. Mark my words, he won't be in New England next year. Remember I said that. Let's see. I had on here, can anybody beat the Packers? But Train pretty much conceded that the Bears aren't going to beat them. We know the Chiefs aren't going to beat them. So the only game left would be the Lions. And I guess we ran over on a couple other topics. So we're going to table that one for now. It's not really that important for this week, because the Packers have the Chiefs, and I don't think there's anybody out there other than a diehard, loyal Chiefs fan that thinks the Chiefs have a shot. So we'll move on to let's briefly talk about the AFC, and it's pretty crowded in the AFC. And I want to ask K-Star, you know, I know he's partial here. I know he's not biased here. But, you know, we've got four teams in the AFC at 10-3, okay? And if I remember seeing the seedings correctly, if the season ended today, I believe the Texans would have the number one seed. The Steelers aren't even winning their division technically right now. And the Patriots, I don't know where they would sit, if they're the number two seed or not, but I think they'd be the number three if I saw it correctly. Right. So, K-Star, honestly speaking, who do you think is going to be the top seed? Not who do you want. Who do you think is going to be the top seed in the AFC?
Well, honestly, this weekend is such a monster. It's really going to determine how it shakes out, because we do expect the Texans to lose at least the game. But the real issue here is with Baltimore. The Sunday night game is Baltimore at San Diego. Now, we've seen Baltimore lose to some bad teams, but San Diego's actually, for the last 2 weeks anyway, I don't believe in them. As you know, I've picked against them pretty much every game this year. As we know, San Diego's been playing at least decent the past couple weeks. That's the real question. Can San Diego muster up enough December magic as they've had the past few years, or like they've had the past few years, to beat Baltimore? And I think they can, because they match up. They have some matchup issues with Baltimore. The one way to attack Baltimore is their weakness is the linebackers in coverage. Terrell Suggs is pretty much a pass rusher specialist, and the other linebackers really aren't worth mentioning in coverage, even Ray Lewis at this point in his career. And of course, as we all know, they have Antonio Gates over there. So I actually do foresee the Ravens dropping this game. All by beside football logic in hand, I do see the Ravens dropping this game in San Diego on Sunday night. For whatever reason, the Chargers seem to play great in December. Although I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure it's going to go in vain this year because of how great Denver's been. So with that being said, if Denver loses, or if with Baltimore losing, as again projected by me, and the Steelers winning, that would put them in first in the AFC, because they hold the tiebreaker over the Patriots. And again, I think it's reasonable. I'm pretty sure you guys agree with me. It's reasonable to expect the Texans to drop from the last remaining three games. So, again, I do see the Steelers being the first seed based on that. However, real quick, if Baltimore wins, it's a wrap. They're going to be the first seed. If Baltimore beats San Diego, it's not even a question. You might as well just pencil it as the first seed in the AFC. It was sucks. But they would have to be the first seed because, again, I still see Houston losing regardless of what happens to everyone else. And they hold the tiebreaker in New England as well for the first seed. So if Baltimore wins, basically Baltimore holds their own fate. They win this Sunday, I think the first seed. If not, they're done as far as the top being the top goes. And they can immediately fall to fourth, or fifth, rather. So I do see the Steelers winning or becoming the first seed in the AFC. In all football honesty, swear to God.
Yeah, why am I not surprised? I'm going
to
be brief.
I try to put reason with it. I'm being honest. I'm trying to give you what I can.
No, you're not. You're being a homer. I'm going to be brief, okay?
Ravens, ridiculous.
The Ravens are gonna lose to San Diego. Why? Because I told you San Diego was going to come on. It took a little longer than I thought. They're home. They're going to beat the Ravens. 49ers are going to beat the Steelers. I'm sorry, but they're going to beat the Steelers. New England's going to win. Texans are going to drop one. And the Patriots is going to be everybody's worst nightmare. But the Patriots are going to end up, they're going to win out, and they're going to be the number one team. You heard it here from Commissioner T.
Why are the Steelers going to lose to the Niners? Like, it's automatic. Did I get some reason behind that?
I didn't say it's automatic. I'm picking. I mean, we'll do our picks shortly, but I'm picking the Niners beat the Steelers. And
that's
it's hurting.
You're brushing us off like Harbaugh did to Jim Schwartz. And last time he did that was against the Steelers playing New England. We all know how that went. So that's fine. You can go ahead.
I've given your Steelers a lot more credit this year than you've given my Cowboys. I've said I like Tomlin. I've said Big Ben is a baller. He keeps winning. Palomalu. I said, you know, I've given you guys a lot of credit. I just think the 49ers are going to be very angry. Harbaugh is a great coach. He's going to have these guys ready. They should not have lost to Arizona, and he's going to have these guys ready. And you guys are not healthy. You know, you know Ben, he's going to play. I don't see Ben this in this game.
He's
going to be hobbled. And that defense, I just got to go front. Anyway, Train, any thoughts on this one before we move on?
Just based on record alone, man, and I'm going to give it to New England. I think New England will get it. I understand that Pittsburgh and the Ravens do hold the tiebreaker, but, you know, I definitely see the Patriots winning out more than I see Pittsburgh and the Ravens winning out. So I think the Patriots will get number one seed.
Can I ask why? Because New England, they just had a rock game at Washington. Their defense is playing horrible. It's the worst defense I've ever seen New England have. Why do you feel like they're going to complete in the last three games?
Because y'all have San Francisco on your schedule. I mean that's a game that San Francisco could win. I'm not saying you guys are gonna lose that game. I'm saying based on ease of schedule, I'm giving a prediction, dude. I say New England.
I just wonder why you go there on the road.
Only because you have San Francisco on your schedule. The other two games on that St. Louis, Cleveland. I think y'all will win them games, but you have San Francisco on your schedule. That's a game that you could lose.
Man.
When New England winning out, it's the same scenario to you. I just give it to New England. I mean, it may change. It doesn't matter, but I still give it to New England if it's my prediction.
Yeah, and I think that the other reason that I would say it is, Tom Brady, of the three quarterbacks, he's the best of the three. New England's got to go to Denver, and we'll talk about that. Then they've got Miami, who just lost their head coach after getting whooped by Philly, and then Buffalo. So, I mean, I don't see them losing any of those games. I think they're going to win out. And like Train said, you know, San Francisco, that's going to be your biggest challenge. Now, if you guys can get past San Francisco, then, you know, then we'll see what happens. Like you said, if Baltimore wins, it's a moot point because if they went out, they're higher than both teams, so we'll all be wrong. All right. Let me just check and make sure. Okay. Coaches. Now, we saw Todd Haley from the Chiefs and Tony Sperano from the Dolphins get fired on Monday. I never understand why you fire a coach with three games to go in the season. I don't understand.
What's the point of that?
I don't get it. Season's over. You got three games left. Let the guy coach the last three games and then fire him. But that said, do we see any other coaches losing their jobs?
Has Merrick Turner been fired yet? I can't remember.
Not yet.
That's one.
You said who Minnesota's coach? Was it Frazier?
No, North Turner.
Oh, Norv Turner, okay. Well, they're giving Norv Turner the chance in December to rectify that mess and maybe make the playoffs. But from what my understanding is, they said that the Chargers do not make the playoffs, which by all, it's looking like they really have a slim chance that he will be fired at the end of the season. That notice has already been put out.
About time. Norv Turner's got to go. And, you know. I was going to say, I would not surprise me if the Colts, what's his name? The Colts coach got fired.
Caldwell. That should absolutely happen, by the way.
Zero
win.
Yeah, you know, you go from a playoff team, and, yeah, I mean, granted, losing Peyton Manning is huge, but really 0-13, and, And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Andy Reid finally has lived out his nine lives. Bottom line is 13 years, no Super Bowls. They only had one appearance. And it wouldn't surprise me, with all the talent they've had this year and the lack of productivity, if Andy Reid didn't get the axe. So,
you know, one other coach comes to mind, and I hope he doesn't lose his job. I would like to see. I don't know what happened to them from this year, because it definitely took a step backwards, but Raheem Morris down at Tampa Bay.
Absolutely.
You know, dude is definitely on the hot seat. I mean, for you to go, 10-6 the year before, you almost had a division, and then you just completely just, like, your team just went backwards. And I don't know if they suffered enough injuries to go backwards, man.
Yeah,
I don't think they suffered enough injuries to go backwards the way they did.
Seven straight losses, and I have every reason to believe it's going to be eight, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk fantasy football real quick. If you either most leagues either entered playoffs or finished off their seasons last week, one of the two things. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on fantasy football.
Yes.
And
yes.
Go ahead.
Oh God. Let me go. This is the craziest thing that's ever happened to me in fantasy football. I played for a very long time, a very very long time. And I was talking about last week how I had a playoff game, for this upcoming week that happened, Sunday, Monday night. Long story short, I was down 25 going to Sunday night's game with the Giants and Cowboys playing. He had Eli Manning. However, I had Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, Jake Ballard, and Dan Bailey. Okay. Now, I finally took the lead. With 2 minutes left in the game, with about 2 minutes left in the game when the Giants scored a final touchdown on Brandon Jacobs because Jake Ballard getting the ball down to the 1 yard line. That was my first lead. Now, the ups and downs of that game were extraordinary, first and foremost. The Mario Manningham touchdown drop, thank you, sir. Thank you so much. The Romo overthrowing Miles Austin, thanks a lot. I really need the Giants to get the ball back because if they get that first down or whatever, that game, I'm pretty much done. Now, basically what happened, though, however, what made it beyond ridiculous, the worst thing I've ever seen, I was up one with 2 minutes left, and again, I had a Cowboys kicker, Dan Bailey. I'm up one, he has no one left besides Eli, and obviously, the Cowboys have the ball, whatever. They're driving, it's all good, we kick the game win, or the game tying field goal into overtime. At this point, I'm just like, man, I kind of hope Dan Bailey misses, just so Eli doesn't do something stupid in overtime, give his Mario Manningham score a touchdown. And, so the kick is blocked. I'm pretty happy. I'm like, yes, I won. However, in this ESPN league, if you miss a kick, you get a minus one. Me and my guy finished 120 to 120. And I am freaking out. I am flipping out when I see my score goes down a point. I have Twitter, oh my God, all types of random posts about it, or on Facebook, Twitter, everything, because it was just ridiculous. And as it turns out, thank God, because I was trying to find it for the longest time, the person with the higher seed wins the game, ultimately. But in the case of a tie in the playoff, it wasn't bench points, because it was bench points, I was screwed anyway. It was based on the higher seed. However, I had another issue at hand when to find out that our commissioner who runs the league, he's a BCS guy. And what I mean by that is, this is a guy who is true to the BCS in fantasy football. What I mean by that is there's actually a week playoff in the fantasy football per game. So I have to play this guy again another week for total points accumulated. My win doesn't matter. Total points accumulated between 2 weeks with this guy. The change of game is also 2 weeks.
So I have another week of just hoping that God, my team, finds a way to get to the championship game. And then, again, another 2 weeks of championship football, which, again, whatever. It's kind of ridiculous, but hey. So that was my moment this weekend. It was scary. And it was just the most ridiculous thing of all time. All
right, Train.
Well, the AFL had an exciting first week of playoffs. I mean, we had three games that went down to the Sunday night game and the Monday night game, both of them. My particular game came down to Brandon Jacobs' last touchdown. I had the score 111-109. Went to the bathroom break and I came back and I was down 111-115. Brandon Jacobs gets in the end zone. That's the end of my score. We had another game where my friend, he called his team North Memphis, whatever, but he had a game where the guy had Dan Bailey, but he also had the Giants' defense. So every time Dan Bailey hit a field goal, the points go up and then they drop back down because the defense lose points every time Dan Bailey hit a field goal. So that one went down to like winning by three.
What kind of strategy was that?
That guy shouldn't have started the Giants' defense. He should have been
a horrible matchup anyway.
Huh?
So that was a horrible matchup anyway. I mean, I think everyone knew it was going to be a high-scoring game because they were the Giants.
I don't know why he had that matchup, but yeah, he ended up losing the game because of Dan Bailey outkicking his defense. And then you had another one where we call him Fastball. We know him as Big Willie. I don't know how he does it. First of all, his squad is auto-picked during the draft. He didn't even make the draft. His entire squad is auto-picked. He has both Dallas Bros and Jimmy Graham on his team, dude. But he gives it to the game. He's up 20 points going into the Monday night game, and lo and behold, he wins by three. Marshawn Lynch falls 4 points shy of winning the game for the other guy. So it was an exciting weekend.
And the fourth game was a blowout.
Call another week where Batman just didn't have good. He had bad matchups, man. These guys did not put in points. So T skated on with, easy win, and now we got the second round.
Also put up 116 points. It wasn't just, give me some credit. It wasn't just his guys wasn't scoring. I put up enough points,
The thing is that he didn't have good matchups. And for a minute, I thought he was going to struggle because I was like, Drew Brees can't score. But this is hurting me because I got coaching. And finally, he found it. I was like, okay, it's a wrap. But I didn't know his guys weren't going to show up enough to not even give him 100. He didn't even break 100. You know what I'm saying? So with that said, that was definitely an easy win.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Why is it
that as the number one seed, in now going to the next round of playoffs, why am I matched up with the number four seed instead of the lowest remaining seed as playoffs normally works? You get a benefit for being the number one seed. You always play the lowest remaining seed. But that's not what
happened. Is that 16 league? Or is that 16 playoff or something? Or?
You should have been matched up with the lowest player from what I saw. I thought it was set up to where you are matched up.
I should be playing Will, who's a seventh seed. Instead, I'm playing Memphis, who's the fourth seed, and Tiki's playing Will.
They created their own bracket.
That's BS.
Okay.
Yeah, they created their own bracket. Can I change that?
I mean,
I never heard of a legal cut. I'm fired for you. That's BS.
If I can change it, I will change it. But because I even told my boy, I was like, you should be playing Lil Jonathan next week.
Right. That's what I thought. Because I've thought for the last few weeks, to be honest, I'm not trying to jinx myself. If this works out, I should end up playing the Little Giants in the finals. That's what I was thinking. I've been thinking that for the last month. And,
I don't know if you want to. Don't look bad.
I'm not. This ain't pro football, man. I can't do nothing about the other team. So all I can do is manage my team. But all I'm saying is I'm glad at least that wasn't the case, because I would have definitely screamed foul if me and Nell ended up playing each other. But I will say this one last thing.
So K-Star, understand. K-Star, the Final Four features two people that did not make the draft. The entire team was auto draft. But it was the best two auto drafts I've ever seen. Their players were just playing off the charts the entire season. And they didn't have necessarily the best records. Actually, one guy was 7th seed and the other guy was 4th seed. But it was good enough for them to win games week in and week out. Their teams were completely auto draft. I think the guy in North Memphis, and he's a really good friend of mine, he might have made his last two picks. Fastball didn't make any of his picks. And
that's
he
ridiculous.
Got into the playoffs at the 7th seed.
I feel like if you don't make the playoffs, I feel like if you're not there for the draft, you should automatically not be eligible to make the playoffs. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Real quick, I just want to say that I have two leagues I'm in. One, obviously, is our league that Train runs. And then, man, I'm getting some crazy feedback. Goodness gracious. And the other one is the NBX League run by my man Bronzel B. If you're listening, shout out to you. You run a great league. And I needed a win, although I think looking back on it, I was going to get in regardless because the other guy lost. So I think I was in either way. But I needed to win to guarantee myself to get in. And, you know, I'm in as a 6th seed in that league, and we start our playoffs this week. So I'm excited. And then, you know, I'll have either Memphis or Will. And, you know, I'm hoping that Breeze continues to play well. I think the Saints got Minnesota. So exactly. So I'm really hoping that, you know, Breeze has carried me all year, and I'm hoping he's carrying me to at least one title. At least one.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. It'd be my first. But we'll see. I got to get through this week first.
Yeah.
And Nell's got a tough team, so we'll see.
Yeah. Real quick, my Amy and Peterson lift team, we managed to squeak in the playoffs, the second highest scoring team. I'm very excited. We played the number 1 seed because mine's a 14 playoff on CBS for the 500. I'm getting Avery Peterson back. I'm very stoked. I'm very excited. My team's pretty good. Rob Gronkowski and Cam Newton are carrying me right now. I love them.
All right. We were hoping to get Hope Bromley to call in, and she sent me a message that she was going to try, so we may not get her till next week, but she is a woman who plays Madden, and it doesn't look like we'll get her tonight, but if not, we'll see if we can get her next week, and you know, we'll talk to her about her love of the game of Madden. But now we're going to look at week 15. And what I tried to do was focus in on the games that I know have playoff implications. So let's start with Seattle at Chicago. Train, you said the Bears are done. So what do you think? You're at home. Big game for you. What do you think?
Hey, I'm still a Bears fan to the end of the end. Chicago, another game that we can win. I promise you, we can easily win. Seattle is a team that's based on running the ball. They're not a good passing team. They're a good running team. And Chicago plays very well against the run. So it's a game where Marshawn Lynch is not going to eat us up. The beast will be contained in this game. You know, and then it'll come down to whether Chicago can put up enough offense to win the game. I don't have to worry about being Tebow, so we don't have to worry about any miracles. You know, I think if we have 10-0 in this game, we'll definitely win it. So, I mean, Chicago's at home. They know their back's up against the wall. They need to win all three. I mean, Green Bay is a lost cause, but they need to win all three. And so they win this one. They still win this game. So I go Chicago.
K-Star?
Oh,
K-Star?
Oh, crap, I mean myself. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I got to go with Chicago on this one. They blew up the run, as Trent was talking about. Marshawn Lynch is the only thing that's going well for Seattle. Again, it's at home for Chicago. You got to figure they have to win this game. They have to, right? So, again, I'm going to go with Chicago, the home team. And, again, they play well. And Seattle's the only strength they have, so Chicago.
Seattle, Caleb Haney. As long as he's your quarterback, I got no faith. Guy's got a great D. And the D is certainly going to keep you in the game, but I don't see this guy winning the game. I mean, Tarvaris Jackson certainly isn't anything to get excited about. But I just hate Haney hasn't showed me a thing, so I got to go with Seattle. Detroit at Oakland, K-Star.
This was a tough matchup for me, and I think my team with Oakland, I don't feel good about the pick at all. But at some point, they have to start playing the football again. You have to figure they're at home. They had two god-awful games on the road. This is a must-win game for them. And with Detroit, these are two of the most undisciplined teams in the NFL, by the way, as far as talent goes, notoriously this year. So that should be interesting in itself to watch the laundry fly. But nonetheless, I'm going to go with Oakland, home team. I expect, hopefully, Darren Fadden's back. Jesus, it's ridiculous at this point. I'm not sure what the hell's going on with the guy. And I expect Oakland to win.
Trey?
Against my whole better judgment, I'm going to go with Oakland because I need them to win, period. This is an emotional fan pick.
Well, if it was an emotional fan pick, I would agree with you. I wouldn't mind seeing Detroit lose, but Oakland showed me nothing last week, unfortunately. So I've got to go with Detroit.
Before you say it now, you said Detroit was going to go 8-8.
I know I said that.
So you got to pick Oakland, man.
I don't have to do anything. I did say 8-8. I said I could see 9-7 when we went through all the games. All right, fine. I'll go. You know what? I'll go ahead and pick Oakland, but I don't think I Oakland showed me nothing last week.
But yeah,
you're home. But and if McFadden plays, which would be great for me on a fantasy level, you know, Oakland didn't show me anything last week. I mean, nothing. So let me go with Jets at Eagles, and although the Eagles are pretty much out of it, the Jets are, you know, very much in it. And what do you think?
Man, with the Jets and Philly, I could easily say the Jets, but I mean their offense is just that inconsistent, and their defense will break if that offense doesn't put up points. I'm going to take Philly. At home, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to the Jets here. I had them as a 60. I think we all did a long time ago. I believed in them for the most part all year. The Eagles are healthy finally. They got, you know, Mack come back and Big Zach and all that other great stuff. But at the end of the day, the Jets are a better football team. That's my reason behind that. So I gotta go with New York Jets here.
Yeah, I mean, of the two, the Jets are playing better football. They're starting to look like a playoff team finally. I'm not ashamed. I still don't believe in Sanchez, and it'll be a long time before I do. But the Eagles, you know, they beat up on Miami, which was a team that lost, you know, their first seven games. So I got to go with the Jets. Reluctantly, but I got to go with the Jets. Big game. We'll start with K-Star, New England at Denver.
I am actually going with Denver here. And the reason why is because they make the game quarter. I'm going Denver, and here's why. If they're in Denver, I believe in Tebow Magic, but for the most part, let's be honest, they control the clock. I honestly do not see New England's defense being able to stop that run game in Tebow time. And, I mean, again, their defense is playing very well. All Denver has to do is control the clock. You know it's going to be a close game. We're in control of the clock. I think they're going to play good enough defense. They are going to get pressure on Tom Brady with Von Miller and Alex Dumervil. There's no question about it. They will get pressure. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to go with Denver at home.
Trey?
I am not going to be a believer of this madness. Let's go Tom Brady. I don't care if you got to scream at your coordinator before the game. I'm picking the Patriots, dude. No, it will not happen. Patriots win this game.
The Tebow magic ends on Sunday, and next week all we're going to hear about is the brilliance of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and how they went into Denver and showed everybody how to beat this team. And I don't think it's going to be close. New England. Baltimore at San Diego. K-Star.
As alluded to earlier, I like San Diego in this matchup. Jokic should cause a lot of matchup possible for his defense. And I feel Clippers is playing well enough to, I believe, get a win kind of in vain at this point, honestly, for them. But I'm going to go to San Diego and find something like that.
Man, you guys and your homer picks, I got to tell you. Train.
I don't think this is the game that Baltimore loses. I think they will lose one, but I don't think it's this one. So I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one.
I've been saying it for weeks. It's starting to happen. This is what San Diego does. This is why they're going to miss the playoffs. This is why North Turner's going to get fired. But before they do it, they're going to make it interesting, and they're going to beat Baltimore at home, San Diego. K-Stars, if I even need to, I have to ask you, Pittsburgh travels to the West Coast to play the 49ers. Why do you think Pittsburgh will win this game? Be brief.
The Niners is their run game. They're not going to run the ball to Steelers. I don't care if New Jersey's on the line. It's not going to happen. I'll just have to beat us. Alia, I'll get better off in this matchup all day, every day. Steelers.
Train?
Well, and the same reason he thinks the Steelers will win, I think San Francisco will win. Steelers won't be able to run the ball. I think they generate enough pressure to rattle Big Ben. I give the San Francisco being at home. San Francisco up there at home. I think it'd be interesting enough to see Sam. If this way were to lose the game, it would be this one. So I'm going to go with the 49ers.
For reasons I stated earlier, Harrison's out, Ben is hurt, San Francisco's playing on a great level, and they have a very good coach. I think they're going to be ready. They're home. It's going to be a good game. Looking forward to it. But I go to the 49ers. Real quick before we take a call, four games that have playoff implications, but should all be won by the favorite team. Do you think there'll be an upset in any of these games? Jacksonville goes to Atlanta. Atlanta's favored. Dallas goes to Tampa. Dallas is favored. Cincinnati goes to St. Louis. Cincinnati's favored. Tennessee goes to Indianapolis. Tennessee is favored. Are any of the favorite teams vulnerable to lose this week? K-Star.
It's going to surprise you a little bit. I do think Indianapolis has a chance to get one win this year. So because they play better, although that's pretty bad at home. And it's a division rival game. This is their last chance to get a win this year. Maybe finally they show up in some kind of capacity. Indianapolis is the one here that I see. Again, I just can't think of 0-16. This has to be it, right? We'll see.
Trey?
I don't pick that one. If I had to go with one, I'd go with the Jacksonville against Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta has shown a bit of ups and downs. And, the offense, definitely Jacksonville offense goes through Jones Drew. But, you know, they're kind of high after getting their first win. And I think they may, if any team can make an upset, I think it'll be Jacksonville.
And all I'll say is St. Louis has one great game this year against the Saints. I think they've already had their one out-of-their-mind game. I don't think the Colts are going to do it. I don't think Tampa's going to do it. And, yes, I'm a homer. I'd have to agree with Shane. If there's going to be an upset with Jones-Drew and Atlanta, even though they're playing better, they've been up and down a lot, I'd have to say Jacksonville has a chance for an upset there. But I think all four favorite teams are going to win. All right, so we are I spoke too soon earlier, but we actually do have our female Madden player that was given to me via the Madden Voice fan page. Check it out. And we're going to introduce her now, and her name is Hope Bromley. So, Hope, we now have you live on the Madden Voice. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
Hey, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. I guess his name's Jedi Capricorn. He tweeted me about you, and then he tweeted you about me and said I should call in. So why not, you know?
Sure. So, you know, and thank you for calling in. I got your message earlier about having a lot going on in your life and trying to find a few minutes to call us, so we appreciate you making time to call us, and especially to hear from a fellow Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, it's just a pleasure to have another fan that understands, you know, real football and a real team. I appreciate you calling in.
Oh, yeah. I've been a Cowboys fan since I was a kid because my parents worked for Aikman. So I've always got to stay dedicated to my team. You know what I mean?
Excellent, excellent. But, you know, we have on the line with us K-Star, and I don't know if you follow Madden, the tournament scene at all, or the Madden Nation TV show, but K-Star's been on the Madden Nation TV show, and annually is one of the top players in the country. And, you know, he might have a question or two for you. But the one question I have is, it is unusual to find a woman that actually plays Madden. So tell us about your love of the game of Madden.
I don't play as much as you might think because I'm always having school over my head. But, yeah, I have played it, but my husband always plays it, and I watch him play it. So I'm getting a mental picture on how it works, you know what I mean? So the whole deal with me being in Madden is I played the Monopoly game last year through McDonald's, and I had one of the stamps that I played online, entered the code, hit the go button, and it ended up coming up at EA Sports, you're in a game experience, and I had the choice between Madden 12 or NHL 12. I know nothing about hockey, so I chose Madden because my husband plays it, and I always see it, and I know how the game works a little bit. So, and I love football, so I couldn't go wrong. I was a marching band in high school for 3 years, so I'd seen it visually right up front. You know, I marched on the football field. I marched at Baylor Stadium in Waco, Texas. That was amazing, you know, and I've been a football all my life. So whether it be in Madden or just football, period, it works out. So football's like the best game in America. You know what I'm saying?
You know, there's a lot of men out there right now who got real excited until you said husband, because they're all looking for wives or girlfriends that love football. So on Sundays, you know, you ain't got to kick them to the curb. You can just say, hey, baby, you ready to watch the game? So do you actually watch the games with your husband?
Oh, yeah. I keep up with the Texas Longhorns, which are my main team, more than I do the Cowboys. So I'm always worried about football. I'm like, okay, you know, if the Cowboys don't win, I don't stress about it because, you know, they're going to have a good or a bad season. Not every team's perfect, but I'm always trying to be in the loop about football. And I'm asking, you know, what's the rank? What's going on? You know, but it's bad because I keep up with college more than I do NFL, you know? But period, football's always in my life, so I can't get away from it.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I also, if I read correctly, you're also a voiceover artist?
Yes, I am.
That's great. So if anyone's listening and they want to learn more about you, where could they go and learn more about Hope?
I'm assigned to the Inland Empire Talent Agency out of Corona, California, and my talent agent is Jennifer Yamack, and it's Inland Empire. I'm trying to remember the website, Inland Empire talent.org, something like that. You can Google it and find it, and you'll find me on there. So, and then there's also a Facebook page. So that's where you find me. That's the main thing I've done, and also being extras in 2 music videos and a movie that's coming out. So
nice.
I've had my share of perks, you know. So it works out. And I actually did a demo for Aflac out of the 12,500 people that submitted. So, you know, that put something else under my belt.
Wow. That's great. K-Star, did you have any quick questions for our lady football star here?
Yeah, if you do get a chance to play Madden at all, do you have to use yourself as being as your free agent and the quarterback? Because if I'm you, that's all I'd do.
I couldn't hear. What did he say? It's so hard to hear.
I was asking, since you are seeing the game Madden as a free agent quarterback, correct? Do you play as yourself, or does your husband play as you, given the opportunity just for fun?
I actually have posted a video of him on YouTube, which has got 12,000 hits, where he's actually drafting my player in Madden. So you can see that. It's called My Husband's Actually Drafting Girl Quarterback Hope Bromley, something similar to that, you know. And I actually like a few days ago, I just got on there, you know, just messing around, and I actually drafted myself to the Dallas Cowboys. So, you know, I got a feel for it. So I've got to play, and I've actually played my quarterback in, like, the practice mode, you know what I mean, just throwing it on the practice
right.
field. So I got a feel of how I work, you know what I mean? Like I said, I never really have time because I'm in school full time, so it's so hard, you know. But, yeah, I watched my husband play me once, and I was like, hey, I got proof. So, you know, it's meant for you in our house.
Cool. Awesome. Great. That's great. Well, listen, Hope, we appreciate you taking time to call into the Madden Voice. We hope you, you know, call in, check us out again. We're here every Tuesday night, normally 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, you know, if you want to call in and talk some football, you want to call in and talk some Madden, or, you know, I know you're busy, but we'd love to have you back on again in the future. And everybody, check her out. Actually, the quickest way I would say check her out is go to the Madden Voice page on Facebook, and you'll see some comments by her. And then if you want to reach her directly, just send her a message that way. And, you know, you want to message, you know, talk to her or hire her or put her in another movie. You know, I want a finder's fee, of course, but put her in another movie. No, I'm sure your agent wouldn't like that. But anyway, go ahead and
check
her out.
Oh, hey, I got another thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there was this girl last night on Twitter, and she's part of the Sports Girls, and it's this new, I guess, TV series that's going to come out in, like, 2012, and her name is Beth, and there's, like, four girls that do this, and they're looking for, like, the next or the last host, and she told me last night after Jedi Capricorn had tweeted her, and she's like, you have been recommended for an audition, or you are recommended for an audition. So I went on the website and put in my information. My talent agent said go for it. So that was exciting. You know, I was like, well, why not? I put in the interview that was done, you know, by a guy last week, you know, which is up on YouTube as well. So it's more opportunity, you know. So I'm just hanging out, and I tweet every day. So if somebody wants to find me on Twitter, they can, you know.
There you go. Hey, just remember us little people. When you make it big, you know, just remember us little people, okay?
Of course, of course.
All right, Hope. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming in, giving us a call. Keep in touch. Go Cowboys. Go Longhorns. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good night. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling in. Take care.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So, guys, there it is. It is possible to find a woman that loves football. It's out there, okay? It's out there. And, you know, all you got to do is go on Facebook and hunt around, right?
AT, I'm T-boying for that one.
Wow. Strain is T-boying.
I'm T-boying for a woman that likes football.
Yeah,
if
I'm going to T-Bow, I'm not going to T-Bow for that. I'm sorry. my last comment of the night is real quick to the Cowboy fans out there. Most of you guys make me sick, okay? You disgust me. You should turn in your Cowboy fan card. I'm tired of most of you. You true fans, you guys know who you are. I'm with you. We're together in this. Hey, every team has its ups and downs. All of this, Garrett needs to be fired. And what are you? Shut your mouth, okay? It's ridiculous. Garrett is not. I'm so glad Jerry Jones came on TV today and clarified it. Garrett is not going anywhere. And, you know, by being a fan means you're with your team in the highs and lows, okay? Right now, Dallas is a little low. And it's okay. You know, they're not out. They still have a chance to make the playoffs. And what they don't need is their fans razzing them to give them a hard time when they played as hard as they played Sunday night. And those guys left it on the field. Every last one of them on both teams went out there. Unfortunately, Dallas came up a little short. But like I tell you every week, anyone out there wants to learn how to be a true fan of your team, listen to the Madden Voice. You got three guys here that will teach you how to be true fans of your team. Hey, Star, any last words?
Earlier you said that, you know, we're playing San Francisco and, you know, we got to go through this. So just remember, it's just got the playoffs. That's what I want to say. Steelers.
Okay. And my man, Train.
Two quick things. I hope Dan Pompey somehow mistakenly listens to the Madden boys and understand, yes, Tom Brady yells at his coordinator too, and he is still a leader. Just so you know. And last thing I want to say is, Bears fan, I know it's grim for us, but hey, the D-Rose show is around the corner. Can't wait till Christmas. Let's go, baby. Let's go, Dead Rose, Chicago Bulls.
Nice. See, make it. Now he's making me feel, because I'm saying, keep the faith, keep the hope, and you talk about basketball. You know what I'm saying? All right, so me and K-Star will teach you how to be fans. And if you want to jump off the ledge, then go ahead and listen to Train, because he's teetering right now. He's teetering, so I hope the Bears do something good this weekend, because he may just be me and K-Star next week. You know, you may have to find Train may be on a milk carton somewhere or something. We may have to put out a third party for him. You know, anybody seen Train? I don't know, man. You know, we got to go find him. So, but hey, listen, it's been a great show. I want to thank all the callers and all the listeners and the tweets. I want to thank Hope for calling in. We appreciate you making time. And the other two callers, I know these are part of Train's crew. I'm waiting for K-Star to get some of his people to call in. Why don't you get Big Gene to call in? Huh? Why don't you get Big Gene?
I should get Gene in here.
This is the guy. This is why I want you to get. And then we'll go. But this is why I want you to get Big Gene calling. This, he is the worst fan out there in professional sports. Here is a guy, when your team is winning, he's look at my Eagles, And when they're losing, he's the first one to say, oh, they suck.
Oh, this team's the worst. They're the freaking worst. It's pretty funny.
He does it so that you could never rag him, because he's ragging him for you.
Yeah. It's,
I want him to call in. I want him to be accountable. I want him to explain. I want you to defend the team. I don't want you to come on and say you're right, they suck. Call into the show and support your team, okay? Call into the show and be a real Philadelphia fan, okay? And tell us about the Eagles, the 5-8 Philadelphia Dream Team Eagles. Are they even going to beat the Cowboys? My hapless Cowboys that are struggling? There's the challenge, Big Gene. But he ain't going to call in. He's scared. He's scared. All right. With that said, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank K-Star. I want to thank Train. We'll be back on next week. A lot of big games this weekend. I got all the picks written down here, so we're going to hold people accountable. Good luck with fantasy football. Good luck with the football game this weekend. Remember, there's Thursday night game, so get your lineup straight. And there's a Saturday night game, Dallas at Tampa Bay. Should be done by halftime, so, you know, y'all still have plans. You should still be able to go out and get your drink on or whatever. We expect the game to be done by halftime, and Stephen McGee will be in the third quarter, because Romo will throw 18 touchdowns in the first half. So with that said, thanks, everybody, for listening. We appreciate all the love and all the support, and we'll see you next week. And I just want to say –
uh-oh. All fields are settled on the field. Probably what he wanted to say. So,
yeah, all fields are settled.
Oh, wait. You know what it is? I keep muting myself. I feel like I'm K-Star. I keep muting myself. But you guys are right. We will settle all the feuds on the field. Everybody take care. We'll see you next week.